It's Morning Edition on KQED. I'm Brian Watt. Protecting people around San Francisco Bay from sea level rise means thinking about a few things. There's where the shorelines will flood, and then there's the toxic contamination that may be on the land that the flooding can spread. We're launching a series this morning we're calling Sacrifice Zones. To start it off, climate reporter Ezra David Romero heads to a part of San Francisco where people are taking environmental health into their own hands.
Sitting in church 3 years ago in Bayview, Hunters Point, Ariane Harrison accepted her calling.
You find out a lot about yourself at a funeral.
She took on her mother Marie Harrison's legacy of care through action.
What I learned in that moment is that love is an action word.
Her mother passed away from lung disease that she believed was tied to a job at the Naval Shipyard. She'd spent decades marching, protesting, and even chaining herself to the fence outside of this Superfund site.
I know they thought that it was going to go away once my mother was gone. In that moment, I did therapy on the mic.
When I say, what do we want? Y'all say reparations. What do we want?
Reparations!
Harrison and others here, they're calling for reparations in the form of money for descendants of slaves. They also want significant investment in Bayview Hunters Point.
We're calling for reparations because people, if they don't pay financially, they don't care about what you're saying.
The community sits along San Francisco Bay and next to legacy military contamination at Hunters Point. Federal and local officials say the contamination is contained and isn't harming residents' health. But sea level rise of up to 10 feet by the end of the century could change that.
So we're coming up on Bayview Hunters Point.
With the tips of downtown buildings soaring behind us, Cole Burchell is showing me the old naval shipyard from a boat on the bay. Burchell's a field investigator for the environmental watchdog group SF Baykeeper.
We're dealing with some of the worst contaminants you can imagine. Lead, arsenic, radioactive isotopes, the list goes on and on.
He says the most immediate threat from sea level rise here isn't from flooding above, it's actually from underneath. Rising seas move inland on top of the land and underneath it. That pushes up groundwaters along with any contamination in the soil.
They will infiltrate existing infrastructure. That has a direct impact on people's homes.
About 15,000 people live within a kilometer of that site.
UCLA's Laura Cushing and UC Berkeley's Rachel Morello-Frosch are environmental health scientists who study sea level rise. Cushing told me that in the Bayview Hunters Point area, rising seas could flood a cluster of industrial sites.
The Hunters Point Superfund site is expected to experience monthly flooding by the end of the century.
The naval yard was contaminated during the Cold War. Some of the site has been cleaned up, and the Navy and city plan to further clean it. But Morello-Frosch told me that cleanup that caps toxic contamination so it doesn't spread above ground isn't good enough. Below, the contamination is open to rising groundwater.
If you start having groundwater encroachment, those caps of legacy sites can be breached.
A recent report from San Francisco's civil grand jury found the city has not accounted for the serious risk that sea level rise could spread toxic contamination in this community. Here's Harrison again.
This is very validating. I want to invite our mayor, whom we love, to show us that she loves us back.
The city's mayor and district supervisor denied requests for an interview. In a statement, officials said they welcome the grand jury report and are seeking funding to study how groundwater rise could affect known contaminated sites.
We are here and we want to stay.
Tanya Randell is a longtime resident of Bayview Hunters Point. She spoke at a rally last winter demanding reparations in the form of economic investment. She's unhappy that so much industry and public utilities are in her neighborhood, things like a sewage plant and a garbage dump.
Why is it all in our area? Because they don't value us.
I took Randell's question to UC Berkeley professor Maya Getesquio. We met on the Oakland shoreline with Bayview Hunters Point in the distance.
What do you think it'll take for San Francisco to value Black and brown people in that community?
That's such an interesting question because cities like San Francisco, especially with a Black female mayor, right, like, would argue that they do.
Getesquio is an Afro-Latina woman and a civil and environmental engineering professor focused on environmental justice.
I think it's going to first take us reconciling that when we say Black Lives Matter, it is all Black lives. It's the Black lives that are uncomfortable for us to have to still actually do the work to say that they matter.
Dr. Ahimsa Porter Soomchai is showing me how Black and Brown lives matter using pins on a map.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Come good, how are you?
Dr. Porter Soomchai is testing residents' urine for contaminants. Here in her office, she's posted a large map, and on it, it's covered with red, blue, black, yellow, and white pushpins. They're like ants piled up on a piece of food. Each pin is a toxic chemical in somebody at levels high enough to harm their health.
There's a woman here who's got uranium 17 times higher than reference range.
Finding that level of such a dangerous contaminant shocked her.
Just set my hair on fire. I had never seen anything like that.
A second map lists the people in the neighborhood who have cancer. Cancer and contaminant data go into the California Cancer Registry to document a relationship between illness and toxic exposure.
The more pins we place in this map and in that map, the greater the liability.
I think this is genius to know that we've been carrying around as much evidence in our bodies, the one place they refuse to look.
Ariane Harrison got tested in 2021. She discovered a list of contaminants at levels dangerous for her health.
Copper, manganese, thallium.
She says her hair is falling out. Antimony, her feet feel pins and needles, and her body retains fluid.
My thoughts was, if it's in me, it's in somebody else.
Harrison is recruiting others to get tested. She hopes the growing mountain of evidence will be enough to convince city leaders to do something to value all Black and Brown lives in this often forgotten part of the 415. In San Francisco, I'm Ezra David Romero, KQED News.
And I'm Brian Watt. You're listening to Morning Edition on KQED.